I don't understand what's going on here.
This is G3.
All you need is the knowledge.
Let's go!
It's the June edition of G3, Games, Gadgets and Gizmos, coming in its entirety from one particular show, the show we come to generally twice a year. It's in Earl's Court, and it varies in its name between Top Draw and Pulse. This time the June incarnation is Pulse, and looking around for new concepts and ideas. And I stopped at a stand and sort of walked past it and thought, that's pretty. And then realised actually it was rather more than pretty. I'm with Ben Petit of Alphabet Jigsaws. Are you Mr. Alphabet Jigsaw?
I am, yeah. I'm a proprietor of Alphabet Jigsaws. I'm also the designer, the store man. It's pretty much, there's only two of us working in the company. They're all handmade wooden jigsaw puzzles for children of various ages.
What makes them different and what makes them stand out is, in fact, they are letters of the alphabet too. They're kind of a training aid.
Yeah, they're educational jigsaw puzzles. We've various different ones. We've number jigsaws, 10-piece jigsaws for younger children. Mm-hmm. We've alphabet jigsaws, 26-piece alphabets, obviously, in the shapes of animals, vehicles. We also have two special jigsaws where the letter on each piece represents the actual animal object on which it's painted. So you have an alphabet with a train of 26 animals. The first three animals, for example, would be A for alligator, B for bear, C for cat. Each piece can be played with separately.
I see. So the jigsaw piece is the shape of the animal and they just link all together.
Exactly. That's right. So there's two ways of playing with it. If they get bored of the educational aspect, they can just play with it. Yeah.
What gave you the idea?
To be honest, I spotted a similar thing and decided to develop it. Like I went to art college and just decided to kind of develop it more for Western taste. They're actually made in Sri Lanka, and that's where we have our jigsaws made. I go over twice a year. They're made in a sort of village area in Sri Lanka.
And they're made and painted there and finished off altogether.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And they're made by hand. That's the thing to stress. I mean, every single piece has been hand cut, hand sanded, hand painted, which gives it a very high kind of perceived value. You know, like it really has got a very tactile.
And there's no sharp edges or anything on it.
No, absolutely not. They've all been tested. They comply to like European safety standards. Yeah.
And how new is the company?
We've been going about 8 years, but for about 3 or 4 years I was just selling on markets, so it was kind of smaller scale for the last 4 or 5 years. I've been attending trade shows in the UK and Ireland. We're based actually in Ireland. So,
and therefore extending your horizons all the time,
I suppose. I mean, it was obvious to come to Britain because I am from London, and it's going well. I mean, it's actually far more practical to sell to shops and then let the product be sold on.
Do you sell online as well?
We do, yeah, we do. Right.
Excellent. So people listening to this across the world can actually get mail order.
I suppose I should plug it. It's www.alphabetjigsaws.com.
Let's take the smallest one. Take me around the stand because I sort of kind of stopped you. Because also you've taken it out and you've got European, you've got all the counties of England and things.
Yeah, I didn't mention the maps. The maps are for slightly older children. We've various different maps. Jigsaws. We have a map of the world depicting oceans and geographical features. We have a map of Europe, a map of Britain, a map of the States, a map of France, and obviously a map of Ireland where we're based.
So, I mean, if we take the European one or the worldwide one, there all the oceans are also colour a jigsaw piece as well.
That's right, yeah, absolutely. It's just a way of familiarising a child with different regions of
that,
the world.
That to me is going to be about, what, an early teenager age for that?
No, between eight, from eight up. Right. A clever eight-year-old, you know. That's not to say, a less clever adult might struggle, but a clever eight-year-old has managed.
But also it gives you an indication that as you're clicking them into position, you think, oh, that's where Estonia is.
Absolutely. Yes, by doing it sort of repetitively, you know, you are going to learn. You can't help but learn.
There must be some difficulties. Have you had to keep the scale? Because some countries, by definition, would be quite a small jigsaw
piece. Well, we obviously just a bit of artistic license. We left a few countries out. Unfortunately, I have many disgruntled and unhappy people who come along and go, where's my country? And
where's Luxembourg? Yeah,
where's Luxembourg? Where's Monaco? Where's, you know? But I had to just simplify. And my answer as well is that I have done more detailed maps, country maps. Mm-hmm. So my world map is, you know,
by definition, fairness, big countries.
It's quite general, and I've kept it very much that way.
And the retail costs, if we take the cheapest item on the stand, which is going to be...
Retail costs from about £10 for a number, 10-piece number jigsaws, up to £35, say, for the largest map, say, the map of Britain. But most of them would be retailing between £15 and £20.
But they're all available online.
They are, absolutely, and we post out.
And I get the feel, by the way we're talking, that actually you're developing and bringing new things out all the time.
Yeah, I mean, every year we add to the range, and... And yeah, I mean, we have to kind of, we've a lot of established customers, and they always expect us to have a few new jigsaws every year. And I mean, that's a part of it I enjoy anyway. I do the design, so that's definitely an aspect that I'd enjoy.
What made me stop and then walk back to the stand to have a chat with you was just they're so brightly coloured, and if you're just thinking of ordinary jigsaws, these are very different. It's definitely worth looking at the site, and you can buy online. And the website again, Ben, is?
alphabetjigsaws.com.
Excellent. Ben Petit, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm now about to demonstrate a most interesting device.
This is G3.
BFBS. G3, Games, Gadgets and Gizmos, coming in its entirety from Earl's Court and the show called Pulse. You may remember, if you were listening last summer, I reviewed and looked at and had a play with the little folding bicycle from Sir Clive Sinclair called the A-Bike, which we thought was huge fun, but totally impractical and almost impossible to ride. And the problem with folding bikes that I've experienced is that often, well, they're just either very difficult to fold or they're a bit clunky. I've just found, I think, what must be the ultimate folding bike, and I'm with Richard Loke, who is with Mobikey. And it says Mobikey UK, so I guess Mobikey's come from somewhere else, do they?
It's a French firm.
And it looks a pretty revolutionary folding bike, but the one thing which makes it stand out is it seems to be so quick to fold.
Yes, it's probably the fastest folding bike on the market that rides. It doesn't ride as well as a full-size bike, a racing bike, but for what it's designed, it rides extremely well. It's fine for going 5 to 10 miles, mm-hmm. certainly for a mile, 2 miles, getting on the train, and that sort of thing.
It's got a reasonable-sized pair of wheels, and in terms of the handlebars also, which I on Sir Clive Sinclair's were very narrow, these are about the right width too, aren't they? But they do fold down.
Yes, that's correct. The whole ergonomics of the bike are very much like a normal bike. You can get off a normal bike and sit on this, it would feel very similar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how new is it in the UK?
It's been here for about 6 to 10 months, but it hasn't been marketed at all, and we're just starting to introduce it now. It's going into bike shops, and we're looking at sort of design shops, gadget shops, that type of thing.
And how old is it? You say it's from France. How long has it been out in France?
It's been going in France for about 2.5 years, and mm-hmm. it's been doing very well in France and a number of other European countries as well. Germany, it's just starting to take off. Some of the low countries, it's doing well also.
What weight is it? Because it folds extremely small, so it definitely goes into a boot, but how heavy is it?
It's about 27 pounds, which is sort of what a lightweight bike used to weigh. They're getting, standard bikes are getting lighter and lighter because of new revolutionary materials. But one of the problems with a folding bike is that it's not easy to make a folding bike, but you can make a bike that folds. You make it light and it becomes very flexible, and it becomes, well, first of all, it's not efficient to ride because when you pedal, the whole frame is flexing. Secondly, when you go on the road, if it's flexing, you hit a bump and so on, and the whole bike sort of vibrates and oscillates, and it's just not a comfortable thing to ride. Mm. So there's this balance of making a bike that's, first of all, strong, rideable, but also weight. And I think the Mobikey's got a good balance with that. And the frame is very strong, it's very stiff, and it's, in fact, it's one of those things you don't really have to lift it either because it just wheels along.
I noticed that when you were demonstrating to somebody else. My memory of my first folding bike was 20 years ago when I used to come into town with mine, and had a big hinge in the middle which joined it together. But on some of the bumpy roads, you could actually feel the bike starting to come undone. This is built in an entirely different way, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that is exactly right. And you'll notice with this, when if you have the opportunity to ride it, it's great on the road. The big tyres, it has a big profile tyre. That soaks up quite a lot of road noise, and it actually gives you a very smooth ride.
And the thing which I really was taken aback at, if I'll hold the microphone, you just demonstrate how quickly it is to fold up.
Well, it's what's simple about it is anybody can fold it. With many of the bikes, it's a little bit tricky because you have to remember to spin wing nuts or all sorts of things. But with this, it's just a squeeze. There's a tube at the back, and you squeeze it, and that's it, folded.
You just squeeze the tube behind the saddle and then lifted a handle in the middle, and that's it.
Yes. It's literally a bike you can fold on the run. I've used it on the tube and on the Paris Metro, but you can run up to your train, and as you're running up, you can fold it without breaking stride. Just continue running with it, and then you just get straight on the train.
And the other thing, which again, if you go to the website, you'll be able to see the difference. The other thing about it, having folded it, it's still pushable, isn't it?
Yes, that's a big feature of it. As I say, you do the fold, and you don't have to break stride. You fold it as you're moving, and it still continues to wheel as a normal bike would. It's just like, in fact, it wheels just like a normal bike. Now, in fact, some people think that when it's folded, it's rideable because I mean, you can see it.
It looks like you could, yes. And so consequently, you could just literally push it to the office.
Yes, exactly.
Does it come with carrying cases and things if you wish to put it in a bag?
Yes, there's a bag which is ideal for, well, protecting it, keeping it away from other things, and for carrying it. There's a padded bag which is suitable for airline use. Mm-hmm. It's not ideal to take bikes on planes just in bags, but it's well padded, and several people we know have travelled between European countries on plane with that and had no damage to the bike at all, so it works well.
When it's folded completely flat and the handlebars fold down and the pedals fold in, it's only about 6 or 8 inches wide, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. Mm. Yes, you can. And the other thing is, because of the way it's designed, it's very easy to lie two on top of each other without really any risk of damage. So it's very neat for that type of thing.
Mm. Retail at?
449.
Which is under quite a few of the other folding bikes, isn't it, really?
Yeah, very much so. It's not a cheap bike because it's very well designed. It's got a lot of specialist parts and so on. Mm-hmm. But it's well within, it's a lot cheaper than many folding bikes on the market.
I remember on Sir Clive's A-bike, which we played with last year, there was a weight limit for that. Is there a weight limit for this as well?
There is a weight limit. There is on all bikes, but it's a lot higher than the A-bike. I think that... I'm not quite sure what the upper limit is, but it's very significant. I mean, you're talking about a very big, big, tall person who can ride this safely. I mean, you can see if you just look at the frame that it's very strong.
So it's really a bike for somebody who commutes or somebody who really wants to use a bike occasionally and perhaps not doesn't have the space for a full bike. Is that right?
I think it's ideal for commuting. Obviously, is one thing. I think it's ideal for people who nowadays people are flying to or driving to cities. It's an ideal city hopper because it's so easy to transport in a car or on a coach or in the plane, and then you can just nip around a city. We went to Paris a little while ago, and it was just perfect for that.
It looks good too.
It's a very cool looking bike. The show. We've had a lot of people, design people have come along and just like the look of it. And it is. I mean, we get stopped when we're riding them all over the place.
If people want to see how it looks, and where's the website where they can go and have a look?
It's www.cyclocentric.com.
Don't worry if you didn't get that down. The links will be on the G3 website, which, of course, is, as always, at bfps.com/G3. And Richard Loke, thank you for your time today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much. BFBS.
I have a weakness. Well, I've got lots of weaknesses, but one of my weaknesses is watches, and I can't really resist a watch which looks different. And I was passing a stand, and these watches, well, they look kind of normal from the outside, and as I got closer and closer, I realised they weren't normal anymore. I'm with Rebecca Otero of Mr. Jones's Watches. And what makes Mr. Jones's Watches different?
Mr. Jones's Watches are different because they're doing something, they're explaining time in a different way, a more engaging way. So we have 5 different types of watches, mm-hmm. and the first one is about accuracy and about life and death and about remember you will die, which is quite pessimistic, but just
so it's not telling you the time, it's telling you how long you've got left.
Exactly. And then the second watch we have is about your ego. So it either boosts your self-esteem or tells you something that demeans your self-esteem.
And does it do that at random, or does it do it...
No, it does it consecutively.
Oh,
so,
I see.
Yeah.
So life is sort of, it's a flip-flop with that watch then.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it should balance you out, basically, that one.
Okay.
And the next one is a yes or no. So if you've got a dilemma...
A decision-maker.
Exactly, a decision-maker.
And is that flip-flop as well, or is that random?
No, that flip-flops as well. But it depends, when you're trying to make a decision, you just look at the watch, and it either says yes or no, so...
Okay.
And the one after that is about right or wrong, similar to the yes or no watch, but a tick or a cross determines whether what you're thinking at that time or the question you have is right or wrong. Mm-hmm. And the last one is just telling you that you have one more minute or one less minute on your watch, and as it goes around, that's what you see. Rather than
they do actually tell the time as well, though.
They do.
Right.
Yeah. It's just telling the time in a different way.
Now, you've got them under glass. Are you wearing one? Yes, you
are.
I'm
wearing one, yeah.
Now, which one is that?
This is the right or wrong dilemma.
Now, it's got a second hand. It looks like any other sort of watch. And how do you make the decision then?
So, animated around the edge is either a green tick or a red cross.
Ah. So it's the moment you look at the watch.
Exactly.
And so that's the way you have to sort of, otherwise you could cheat, couldn't you? And just wait for the next second.
You could. So you have to be quite disciplined.
And therefore, all the rest, if I get close, oh, I see. All the rest are just changing into yes and no. The ego one, I can't see what the ego one is saying.
It says you're useless or you're amazing or things like that that change throughout the day.
Right, okay. And the one which is the accurate one about how we're all going to die eventually, what does that say?
That says remember, and it says you will die. So remember on the minute hand, or on the hour hand, and you will die on the minute hand.
They're very unusual. How new are they?
They're very new. They're derived from a project that was a lot more conceptual, and it was based on emotions.
A lot more conceptual?
A lot more conceptual than these okay. watches. These are kind of more usable, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's true to a certain extent, yeah. Yes. And are they readily available? Can you buy them online?
You can buy them online at mrjones.com. Mm-hmm. mrjoneswatches.com, sorry. And you can order them online as well.
Right. Are they all the same prices, or do you have to pay more for the one they're going to die with?
Not at all, no. They're all the same prices. We're also selling them wholesale at a cheaper price at £40.
Online?
Online.
Right. So yeah. You can buy them online, any of the designs, for £40.
Exactly.
They look kind of unisex, they are, I guess, are they?
They are unisex, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm wearing one with a white strap, and it just depends on your taste, really.
Yes.
But they are unisex.
Whose idea was it?
It was Mr. Jones himself.
Is Mr. Jones a bit like the Charlie's Angels? Does he exist?
He does, yes.
Would he be here otherwise?
He would be here.
Oh, I see, but right.
But it's just me you've caught at the moment, mm-hmm. So yeah, he is around.
UK-based?
We are UK-based, mm. Yes. UK-designed, made in China, I think, at the moment, so mm-hmm. Yeah.
And very, very new, therefore.
Very new and young, contemporary.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they obviously are going to attract lots of attention as well, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, we hope so. I mean, that's why we're doing trade fairs like this. Mm-hmm. And soon we'll be kind of selling in museum shops and things like that. So we're hoping to attract a lot of attention. And yeah, and expose as well. And
are you involved in the design too?
I'm not, no.
No.
I'm just involved in the selling.
Oh, I see. As I was going to say, presumably there will be other ideas in the making of it.
Yes, definitely. Mm. I mean, you'll have to speak to Mr. Jones himself, the elusive Mr. Jones, about that. So, yeah.
Website again where people can see more about the watches. Tell me the website again.
It's www.mrjoneswatches.com.
If you didn't get that, don't worry. Follow the links on the G3 website, which you'll find, as always, bfps.com/G3, and follow the links to these very clever watches of Mr. Jones Watches and Rebecca Otero. Thank you.
Thank you.
Computer. This is G3.
BFBS.
G3, Games, Gadgets and Gizmos. This is not a game, or a gadget, or a gizmo. But as I passed the stand, my nose wrinkled with the smell of fresh fruit. Say ice cream van and you think of a great gaudily painted thing, making a loud noise and selling kind of basic ice creams. This is an ice cream van with a difference. And I'm talking to Adam Ellis. Is Scoop your idea, Adam?
Scoop certainly is my idea. It's a concept to try and counteract all those horrible, gaudy ice cream vans you're talking about. We're trying to create an adult-only ice cream van, boutique eating, a little bit of indulgence, kind of to combat those food police that are around at the moment with their GDAs and their, right. You know, trying to make us all healthy.
You're here at Pulse. Why are you here at Pulse? Is it to sort of pass the word on?
It is, yeah. This is kind of a concept that we're kind of trying to take to the next level, really, mm-hmm. trying to build it into a big brand.
The idea being what? It'll be a franchise, or you buy into the concept, or how?
Potentially, we could go into nightclubs, do posh weddings,
course,
do gallery openings, anywhere a normal ice cream van would be, but, you know, with a little bit of sparkle to it. But possibly franchise, yeah, with people being interested in other parts of the world, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, is the idea that it takes money in the sense it charges for everything, or as part of a corporate thing, somebody just gives you the money to turn up, if you see what I mean?
A bit of both at the moment. I mean, we could go into events organising like we are here, mm-hmm. or potentially we could franchise it out and people can make their own money out of it. We're still in the early days of trying to work out the concept.
And how early is early days?
Well, this is probably our third show we've done, mm-hmm. and we're just trying to basically put together a business plan and see, you know, tread our toes in the water, see if people are interested, which they seem to be.
Speaking of radio, our listeners are thinking ice cream van. I know what they are. They're big white things with a guy standing behind a counter. This is very, very different. Describe your van.
My van is painted in blackboard paint, so it's like a huge deli board, so you can scroll all over it, the local ingredients of the day. It's got a huge illuminated spoon on the roof, which is a pastiche of those old Passion ice cream vans. Mm-hmm. It's black and moody and sexy. I've got my Scoop Troop, which are the girls that look like 50s air hostesses.
I saw them coming through the show, and I thought, I wonder what stand they're on, and it was only when I got here I realised. Yes.
We're into the glam.
Yes. But it's not just the outside features, the vehicle itself and the girls who serve the ice cream, it's the ice cream as well. What do you do which makes you different from a 99?
Well, for instance, we kind of consider ourselves to be like an ice cream deli, so mm-hmm. we're the connoisseurs of ice cream. So we're not typecast to any one manufacturer. We go around sourcing the very finest ice creams from around the world and sell them and hero them. So, for instance, we're using Jude's ice cream today because it's a fantastic manufacturer, but mm-hmm. tomorrow we might be doing chili flavour ice cream from Australia.
I see. So you're not tied to any particular ice cream. It'll depend on the client at the time, or even perhaps the weather and the location.
Exactly, and also, you know, we would like to get to a position where we can start commissioning ice cream as well. So I'm interested in commissioning lavender flavour ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But, you know, we don't have an actual manufacturer we have to do that with. We can, tread our toes because, the franchise is strong. It doesn't need to be typecast to one person.
The van is not the sort of van which goes around the streets and sells, because it is a static pitch, isn't it? You arrive somewhere and set up.
I think it's all about trying to put that theatre back into selling the ice cream. You know, like when you used to have your interval, when you used to go to the cinema, the glamour you used to get with air hostesses in the old days. It's bringing a bit. It's not the disgruntled man in a van who doesn't really want to be there. It's bringing that razzle dazzle back.
You're a romantic man at heart, aren't you?
Yeah.
What gave you the idea?
Really, it was I went to Queen's Park with my little daughter, and she wanted an ice cream van, and I approached one of the vans, and I was just quite disgusted at how tired they looked, really.
Mm.
So I just thought we could reinvent the ice cream van.
Are you what are you? Are you a food retailer or
no? I'm a graphic designer by trade.
I see, right.
So
the design part of it came very easily.
The kind of design and the branding and the look and feel. Catering's new to me, so that's a little bit harder. But it's a learning curve.
It is. And how new is it? You say you've been to a couple of shows. It's all
this
year.
We've been in it for about a year.
Oh, I see, right.
But not full time. You know, it'd be like we've been henpicking the right ones.
Mm-hmm.
Logistics of a catering ice cream van are quite a lot.
What sort of, give us a range from one end to the other of the extremes of venues you've done over the last year?
Well, I've done a very posh wedding for some friends. Then we went to Truman Brewery, which is a very cool, eclectic, arty place in East London, to the open market. And this is our third one here, which is a huge, tens of thousands of people. So,
that's right. Yes.
And we've got our own little kind of designated cafe area here, so we've upped the ante a bit.
Yes, I noticed people. Now, so it's all the layout here. Is that all your design as well, then, to a certain extent?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, these are showcasing another designer's work here, these little chairs and tables, which are beautiful, but they look like little scooped-out pieces of ice cream. But they just complement our brand, so...
If somebody was interested, I mean, because presumably it's difficult. Our conversation here hopefully will bring a wider awareness, but because our audience is scattered across the world, first of all, if you come back and see one of these black matte black vans with the scoop sign, it's definitely going to be good ice cream. But if people were interested, could people get in touch to talk about the potential for moving it elsewhere?
We've got, a web page up.
So we're
trying to get our all-singing, all-dancing one working, but we've got a web page with the van on it and the girls on it. It's www.scoopice.com, so people are quite welcome to have a look at there, and then get in contact with me. My email address is on there.
Excellent. Good. I wish you lots of luck. It's a superb concept.
Thank
as
you.
I say, it's a pity that radio not only doesn't have pictures but doesn't have the smell, because the smell of the fresh fruit is absolutely magnificent. Have you treated it?
No, it's just as it comes.
Adam Ellis, thank you so much for your time on G3 today.
Thank you.
Is there a mechanic in town?
This is G3.
BFBS. G3, our final visit to the show at Pulse for the June edition. And it's always nice to revisit somebody who has been on the programme before. And as you walk past the stand, you realise that, in fact, they've grown enormously. Not so much in stature, but in the things that they do. It must be, 3 years ago, Calypso, that we first spoke, is it?
We've been going for 3.5 years now.
So that's about 3 years,
yes.
And when I spoke to you then, you had the Clippy Kit, which was a bag in which you put photographs and other ephemeral things. And I think you'd won an award then, hadn't you, as I remember rightly?
Just won London Young Business Person of the Year.
Oh,
so
right.
It was a while ago now, though. Not so young anymore.
But you have, your range has increased dramatically.
Yeah, we keep bringing out, every show we bring out about another 3 or 4 new products and keep developing the range. We brought out all our kits that customise the bags to make everything easy for people. And we've just brought out our new children's rucksacks, which are finalists for Gift of the Year.
That's wonderful. Is your team still you and a couple of others, or is it now much bigger?
We've got 3 people in the office now, and I still work with my mum, Claire. And we've got an office in Wyfold Road in Fulham. It's all very, very grown up now.
Because it was a kitchen table before, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was the flat with boxes everywhere. But now we've got an organised office and it's all very grand.
And you're travelling the world to different shows as well?
We are. We're just going to America in July. We've got a few stores that we supply over there. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a big sales drive then. So looking forward to that.
So you're worldwide as well now then?
Just about.
The concept originally was, I think, was an idea of yours, wasn't it? Where you made one yourself. Was it for art college or something?
Yeah, I made one myself on the kitchen table to put all my Polaroids in. Mm-hmm. And I used to work in the theatre, so I never thought I'd be doing bags. But I made one, and so many people stopped me in the street asking where I got it from. I had a couple of hundred made, and then it expanded from there. And now we've got about sort of 30 different products all along the same.
All using the same principle of being have little dockets to put photographs and other things.
Yeah,
don't
make
you?
It personal to you.
And go through some of the range of the things that, because you say you've got 30 different products. The stand now is much, much bigger in terms of the things you do. Which are the ones which have proved to be the most, say, popular over the last couple of years?
Our teenage market's really big. And so our files, pencil cases, and all the sticker range sell really, really well. We do exercise book covers. So we've been really pushing that area because teenagers love it.
It seems odd in the days of Bebo and MySpace and things that something like this would have an equal appeal, but it's true, isn't it?
Well, they love putting pictures of all their friends and making it unique to them, and no two will ever be the same.
That's so true, yes. And the one that's up for the finalist or the what the Gift of the Year
Gift
award?
Gift of the Year from the British Gift Association. That's the children's rucksack.
And that is just like a rucksack except with lots of dockets.
Yes, it's got six pockets on the front, and it comes in red or pink.
The competition for the Gift of the Year is enormous, so obviously something about it made the judges think sort of make it stand out.
I think because we've really developed the range, and you can buy all the bits and pieces, and it's easy to do, and you get the whole package. I think they like
when
that,
you say
it's a good price.
Initially, you put your own photographs and things in, but you say buy all the bits and pieces. What are these bits and pieces?
Well, we found that a lot of people either can't be bothered or don't have the time to do it themselves, so we've got all the fabrics, and then we do all the sort of girly sticker bits and little packets of gems and bows and butterflies and things just to get someone started so they don't have to think about it too much.
So they still use their own photographs and things, but all the other little things you supply in the kit?
Yes, we do.
Is that something which is an optional extra, or does that come with all the bags?
It's an optional extra, so people like to collect the bits and pieces, and we bring out new fabrics or we bring out new stickers, then they can buy the next one then change it over.
Excellent. And of course the bag changes all the time depending on your mood and current boyfriend and everything.
I know, you get bored of your boyfriend, you can just take him out.
Prices, Calypso, what's the cheapest item in your range now?
The cheapest item is £4 for the stickers, and then the pencil cases, makeup bags, they all retail for about 12.
Right,
and then the most expensive is 30.
Right, and is that for the rucksack, the children's rucksack?
That's for the large tote bag.
Oh, I know, yes, the one which almost was the beginning of the range.
Was the very first.
Website where people can see all your new designs?
www.clippykit.co.uk.
It's Clippy with a C and all one word. And Calypso Rose, thanks for your time on G3.
Thank you very much.
And that's it for G3 for this month, coming as it has in its entirety from the fabulous design show that is Pulse. We've covered bikes, bags, watches, ice cream and jigsaws. Next month, we hope to get outside and take to the water as I hopefully review a sailing dinghy which fits in the boot of the car. Also across to the USA to find out about a revolutionary way of generating electricity by hand, which will work not only in America, but also more importantly in places like Africa, and save having to transport by road great quantities of diesel oil just for electricity. That's all coming up in G3 for July. Don't forget the website, bfbs.com/G3, that's letter G, number 3, and there you will see photographs and links to everybody we've spoken to today. Also, you can go back over the years and see who we've met and what we've talked about, and a chance to hear the show all over again as a listen again or subscribe as a podcast. Until the July edition, thanks for listening. From me, Dave Raven, speak to you in a month's time. Bye bye.
Terminate automatic.